I never heard of a young lady, but people say she's confident.
What?
Nice job.
Hello.
Are you going to leave that in?
Yeah, well, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Welcome to our funny podcast where we do things good.
Yeah. Hey, before I forget this time, if you want to send us an email.
Before knowing what this podcast is, you can, send us an email.
You can reach us at validatemepodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Suggestions, comments, commentary on any of the other episodes, whatever. Things we should do, things we shouldn't do, things
we should, do we should of, not
less
do.
Of, right?
All right. Do not talk about Twilight. So, if you send me your opinions about Twilight, that's not what we're talking about this episode, yeah, but
totally
do it anyway.
Fine. Totally fine. All right, so welcome back to Validate Me, where
Hi.
Presley and I try and prove to each other that we're cool by recommending...
Ooh, this is a really good thing to pick to prove that I'm
media.
So cool.
Yeah, this is another interesting, kind of like...
What was my interesting one?
So I wrote in my notes that it reminded me a little bit of... speaking of, what are we doing?
Oh, we're doing a podcast. What do you mean?
No. What's our content for today?
Oh, we're talking about Pride and Prejudice 2005. It's the one with Keira Knightley in it, not the one with Colin Firth in it. So it's not like the 9-hour web, not a web series. There's a series, a mini series.
I assume they don't play the same character in the two different episodes.
Oh, I would love that. I really would like Colin Firth to play Elizabeth. I think that'd be great.
Or she should be Mr. Darcy.
Yes!
Keira Knightley as Mr.
That
Darcy.
That would be
pretty awesome.
I would die.
Yeah.
Okay, so like, I'm going to preface this podcast by saying that like any other lesbian, I'm like in love with Keira Knightley. So we all are. We all love her so much.
Mm-hmm.
She's the pirate king.
Mm-hmm.
She's great. We love Keira Knightley. And yeah. I don't think you understand. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that you confuse Keira Knightley with so many other actors. Just in general. I feel like that's something. I feel like we've either had this conversation or I've just convinced myself that's something you would definitely do.
Yeah,
is think that like Keira Knightley and Anne Hathaway are the same person?
No, that's definitely not true. Like, I like Keira Knightley. Like, I know who she is. I've followed Keira Knightley for many, many years.
She does look kind of like Anne Hathaway, though.
She doesn't look at all like.
Maybe
her,
I don't know what Anne Hathaway
not
looks like.
Not to me. All right. So what I was saying was, I think that this reminds me a little bit of To All the Boys.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Because
it's
always
let's
a little interesting.
That.
In terms of, like, your coolness factor, right?
Oh, I'm so cool.
Like, every once in a while, like, everything's kind of edgy.
It's not a normal rom-com.
Edgy-ish, right? For you and your people. And so there's a lot of, you know, emo, gothy kind of stuff that goes on in your little head.
This is goth as in Visigoth.
And every once in a while, there pops up, like, this rom-com kind of thing. Or this classic, like...
This is not a rom-com.
Shit, what, I always want to say Emily Bronte.
But this is Jane Austen.
It's Jane Austen, but she did a Emma.
Yes.
She wrote a book called Emma, and I always get Emma confused with the author and, like, in my head, like, Spencer. So, it's kind of an interesting little,
But where's the Emma that we're confusing this with?
I don't know. Whatever. Like, the names start spinning in my head because
Bronte,
of Emma.
But I
Emma
say it.
Emma always, like, gets me spinning because I never can remember Jane Austen because I get stuck on Emma.
Okay, wait. Can I do speaking
anyway.
Wait. Oh, my God. Let me say. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. No, just, like, speaking of Emma, I want to say that, like, half my notes are crowdsourced because I watch this movie with my friends and my partner, like, constantly.
Yeah.
We watch it a lot.
Yeah.
And so, shout out to the men who are in Theory Attractive group chat.
Okay.
Of which one of the people is named Emma. So,
oh,
thank you for being funnier than me, and I just stole your notes.
Yeah.
Yay.
And so, yeah, I'm always interested in, like, how, like, this became a thing in the same way that I'm interested in how To All the Boys became a thing. Because they seem like not your typical edge.
Okay.
They seem not edgy.
I will say.
And they seem, and your commentary on it was bizarrely, like, heterosexual.
Excuse me? What does that mean? Hold on. Okay, I need you guys to know that at the time we're recording this, I'm wearing ripped jeans and an open Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah.
So don't you dare.
Yeah, I don't know. You made some comment about how attractive Mr. Darcy was or how much of a crush you had on Mr. Darcy.
Okay.
So if you want to jump right into the let's make this gay.
I am a lesbian.
We can jump right into the let's make this gay. Okay, I was just like, great. What? Did somebody hack your account? Like,
no.
Because it was some sort of like Discord message or something.
Okay. I might have just said that just for
it might have been a fever dream while you had corona.
You were the one who had it. I don't know if I had it.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Okay. Regardless. And also, that's not, just to make it clear to people, I don't think there's anyone who listens to this who doesn't watch our channel, but we're not being ha-ha funny. The coronavirus is a funny joke. We both maybe actually had coronavirus.
Yeah.
So we get to make jokes about it.
Yeah.
We're not being a bad person. Okay. Yeah, so this is...
Oh, no, I was serious. Maybe it was a fever dream when you had the coronavirus. That wasn't even a joke. Like,
no,
maybe you had a fever.
That's completely fair.
And you were...
I just need to make... I don't want to get hashtag canceled, okay?
You were saying that... What's his putz? Well, you had a crush on Mr. Darcy.
So that's great because it ties into the group chat. So we have a group chat that's called Men Who Are In Theory Attractive, which is just where we watch movies.
Yeah.
And the funny bit is that, like, all of us are queer women, and we're all attracted to women. Mm. And we all really, really like making jokes about how hot men are. And so it is, like, compulsory heterosexuality. Except one of us is bi, but then they just described what it was like being a lesbian and feeling compulsively attracted to men. And so we're kind of like, are you sure you're attracted to men? Like, 100% sure. Because she was like... Because, like, how I feel... So, I like to make jokes about having crushes on and thinking that men are sexy.
Uh-huh.
But, like, what I mean by that is just I kind of want to be, like, their pal. I want to feed them soup and treat them like a baby bird.
Yeah, I would say that in this case, I would not argue that Mr. Darcy is particularly attractive or...
Oh, no! I don't care about his face.
Comely or... But he's also a jackass.
No, he's not!
He's not.
I will argue with this forever.
He's
just
himself,
awkward.
Like, oh, I've been an unmitigated ass.
Yes.
Which seemed, I don't know if they talked that way back in the day.
This was written by Jane Austen, but
late 1700s. Do you think that I was an unmitigated ass is
I don't remember.
They did definitely change a lot tonally from what I read.
They did. Well,
they did. And they actually, one of the things I find super funny about this was that he said that he changed the era.
Yeah.
So it was something, but it was relatively small.
Mad,
like it was like late 1700s versus early 1800s. It wasn't like a huge
that
shift.
That is a huge shift, Dad.
But I mean, time-wise. Oh. And it was something from like when she was writing it versus when it was published.
Yeah.
So the time frame of this edition of the movie happens during the time that Jane Austen was writing the book. Or started writing the book, maybe.
Okay.
And then most of them are based when the book was published, which was like 20 years later, 30 years later in the 1800s,
which,
right?
Yes.
But his reasoning for doing so, at least in the interview that I saw, was that he didn't like A-frame dresses.
Okay.
And so he didn't want his characters running around. It was just like right before the fashion.
Yes,
sort
I know
of turned
that I
over.
Really love historical fashion, and I should know what an A-frame is. But
so
I'm
he didn't
Google
want
that.
Well, like the high kind of tight waist with the. It looked like an A, right?
Okay.
It kind of makes a. It makes an A.
I didn't know that.
And so he did, and they did. Like
what?
They were just coming into style, and so the I think the sister of the, whatever the guy that does this. Hold on, where is he? Let me find my.
Oh, those! But those are so sexy. Yeah,
this guy.
Mr. Bingley. Mr. Bingley.
Yes, Mr. Bingley's
sister.
I also
call him Bingley because
I think
I'm
at
weird.
One point she wore like the A-frame thing because she was ahead.
Yeah.
Like she was forward fashion, right? But he had all the other people were wearing more like peasant gown, kind of straight dresses.
This
necessarily
ties
peasant
into,
gowns, like straight stuff.
It's not a peasant gown.
But I think that's a,
what?
That's an awesome reason to change the time.
No, it's not. Because, okay, so... My friends who know me really well and who know how much I fucking love this movie know that I hate Regency fashion with a passion.
Like, okay, I don't know what that means. What is Regency? Is that what they wear
in the Regency era. Yes. So it's the Regency era because the king, I don't remember who the king was. I think he was a George, was going insane. And so the France was, I think it was France, was ruled by King Regent, who was like, and so it's called the Regency because of that, I think.
Yeah,
saw this on a fashion website,
right.
Because I really like historical fashion, and like my quarantine
You
pet
didn't
project.
Like the fashion in this film?
Okay, no, actually, what I was going to say is I was like, okay, so they had to set it in the Regency, because that's when it was being written, and that's when it's set, is in the Regency, but with what they were given, they did a very good job. It's not entirely historical.
But it was intentional, right? It was like perfectly intentional.
I
and I think maybe when
that.
Like when the the rest of the
But it is more accurate.
What's the Elizabeth's last name?
Darcy. No.
Darcy. Well, it is
at
now.
At the end.
Yeah. Sure.
Oh my god, how did I just forget that?
Whatever.
Elizabeth,
when all the sisters went to go
Bennett.
Visit Bennett. When the Bennett family
Receive all
Mrs.
the
Bennett, Mrs. Bennett, Mrs. Bennett, and Mrs. Bennett. Miss Bennett.
Receive all the Bennetts in the country.
So I think she at one point wore like an A-frame thing. Yep. So it was kind of interesting. They got some duality there.
Georgiana is his sister.
They almost did one thing. I like Georgiana too. Like the little bit she was in it. I thought she was really good. The other thing I thought they did, and a couple of times it sounded like they did, and maybe it's just because I just started reading the GEB again, right? When I was talking about the harpsichord versus the pianoforte.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, Rich Chick was saying...
Which one?
Do you play the pianoforte?
Oh, fucking...
The cat.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was also Lady kind Catherine of right Linda. in the transition between harpsichord and pianoforte. And so I thought at the beginning, you know, like the piano theme plays over the opening credits, kind of. Yeah. Right?
Sexy.
And then it kind of fades into the house. I loved their like long running shots. Like,
yes,
they did a lot
so
of that,
great.
Right? Like through the dances, like when they were following so people and like weaving in and out of the dances and stuff. Mm-hmm. I thought that was all great. But anyway, they went through and one of the Mary, I think, mm-hmm. was playing the piano. And it sounded like she was playing in harpsichord during certain points of it. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of like, oh, they're more poor, so they have the harpsichord. They haven't upgraded to a pianoforte yet. And it sounded like a couple of places. I don't know that they actually did that. But
that's neat.
It sounded like a couple of times, like...
I didn't know that.
In the same way that, like, fashion was transitioning and the people that were a little bit more fashion forward were wearing the Empire dresses. And
The Empire is what they're actually all wearing.
Oh, is it?
Empire
okay,
is
whatever.
Here. Empire
whatever.
Is,
what?
Like, the
A-line
waistline,
thing.
Yeah.
But, so and then the people that were more poor had harpsichords and didn't have pianofortes yet, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know if they actually did that, but in my brain they did that, and so I'm all about that. I thought that was a kind of cool thing to do.
Let me complain about the Regency for a second, because I'm very passionate about it. So, historical fashion is, like, my quarantine pet project.
Mm.
It's, like, not... So, I am, like, prefacing it. There is a lot of channels on YouTube who are very, very cool, mm. who are people who, like, study fashion history for a living.
Yeah.
And they're very knowledgeable about, like, all of fashion history. I just happen to know a lot about... Not even a lot, but about very specific eras, just because I reference them a lot. I do a lot of historical costume designs,
uh-huh.
Just because I'm writing. And so I think it's neat, and I want to make it as accurate as possible. So, with that out there, I hate the Regency era so much, because the A-line dress is right after it.
Yeah.
Super interesting fashion era. Mm. Everyone's doing something funky. Mm. It's great. And it is, like, in my opinion, the height of menswear over any time period is right after the Regency.
Mm-hmm.
And Regency era menswear is so boring, and it makes me so mad. And all the dresses, like, so I watch all, like, a historical, there's a lot of historical period pieces that I watch and enjoy. And generally, they do go for that A-frame silhouette.
Yeah.
Then it go for, like, something very, like, Victorian looking,
mm-hmm.
Or Edwardian, generally, which is a super interesting silhouette. And what a Regency dress is the underwear. Like, that's what you wear under it. And so I look at that, and I'm like, they're in a shift.
But, like,
they look like they're in a shift, and it makes me mad.
Is it a shift?
It's probably...
Is there a T? I thought it was a shift. Maybe.
What? Oh, it might be. It might be shift.
I could be wrong.
I don't know how English works. You know what I'm saying.
But you wouldn't have gotten the big Lion King shot where she's standing on the rock and looking out over the countryside, and her wind is jostling her... lightweight fabric.
I really, really like her big, thick coat, because it's kind of what I have.
Yeah. And
that's a neat coat.
Like, I read, this could be totally apocryphal too, but as I was reading, like, interviews with the director, he was talking about maybe the shot towards the end when Mr. Darcy comes, like, strolling through the haze.
Yes.
In his big overcoat.
His little unbuttoned shirt.
He's super nearsighted, and he couldn't wear his glasses. And so they had to have, like, one of their PAs was standing behind the camera with, like, big red, like, flags, like, waving the flag so he knew what direction
to
walk in.
Get some fucking contacts, dude.
Well, he didn't even,
it's 2005.
Couldn't
they
even
existed.
Tell which direction to walk
like
in.
It was shot in 1920.
They had, like, the airport guy, like, flagging him in to have him walk towards the camera. Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's fun for me, because...
That was a good time.
Fun new facts.
Excellent timing on his part.
Is that I have... really bad eyesight and, like, awful depth perception, even with no... I think that somehow ties into ADHD, because I know that a lot of ADHD people have really bad depth perception.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's me too. do that.
Hey, can I throw out my fact of the podcast?
What's your fact?
That has nothing to do with this movie, other than it's about Keira Knightley.
Give me a Keira Knightley fact.
Keira Knightley was Padme's body double in the prequels.
Yeah.
like the person that was, you know, supposed to be.
I hope they're friends.
Padme.
Yeah.
You know, like the whole plot of the thing was that she acted like she was the servant girl.
Yeah.
And there was another girl that played Padme.
Yes.
Through the first half of the movie.
Yeah, she was not playing Natalie Portman.
That was Keira Knightley.
She was like playing Padme.
She was playing
Padme's double.
Yeah.
She was not doubling for Natalie Portman. No, not
like she wasn't like a stand in.
Yeah.
But yeah, she was like her body double security person in the prequels, but so like made up, and she had the big like hair, the headdress on. It's, and I've looked at pictures of it, and I can't see it. Like I can't, like I can see the picture of her in that outfit, and I can't draw the connection that's Keira Knightley. But it was totally
that's neat.
It was
Keira Knightley. I have what is possibly the most in-character Keira Knightley fact for me to know, okay. And that is that she took a woman to prom. Keira Knightley facts.
Okay. Did not know that.
She is not, I don't think, I feel like I would know because I researched it. I don't think she's ever publicly come out as a queer woman in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
But she did have a woman as a prom date, and then they did a photo shoot together, and it was really cool.
That's awesome.
Not at prom, like later. And they're still like best friends.
Right.
So that's cool. Anyway, this movie. So also just like one more thing about the costuming, because that's just like what I obsess over.
Please.
I mean,
it's a period piece. Like costuming is fair game.
Fair. They all have, so this was a movie from 2005, which is the year I was born, and they all have, like, 2005 blunt bangs. That was not accurate at all. Like, so, Keira Knightley, she has, like, bangs?
Yeah, yeah. Do you know why?
I don't know why that was a trend, but well, probably
it
just
wasn't.
Because it was. Was she, it not?
She
they
had,
got them in Lost.
She had just done Domino.
Okay.
Where she, the Bounty Hunter movie I was talking about.
I guess she and couldn't
so
throw them
she
out.
She had super short hair, and so she had to wear a wig through big chunks of the movie. Mm-hmm. And there was, like, there were a couple of scenes where, like, suddenly her hair is, like, down to her waist. And I was like, what just happened? Like, did it, was that just in a bun of some weird tight bun? Because it seemed like
I didn't question because everyone had really long hair back then. So.
Yeah, and like, am I supposed to believe that she just had it up through the rest of the movie and then this one scene she suddenly has, like, waist-length hair? That seems really bizarre. But yeah, she almost didn't get the part.
Interesting.
Because
she's so good in it, though.
She, because she had just done Domino and had just cut her hair shorter than yours, even for Domino.
Ooh, well, and then, mine's like a fucking mullet.
I don't think the director really wanted her. I think it was
really,
more they're like, you have to cast one famous person, and then you can cast one whoever the hell you want.
They cast,
and so he said, okay, I want Mr. Darcy,
Dame Judi Dench,
and nobody knows who the hell Mr. Darcy is. And so I want him to be Mr. Darcy, and so we'll cast a famous person to play.
Because I really
Lisbeth.
Lisbeth.
What is Lisbeth from?
I don't know. Okay. It sounds like a vampire.
No. There's somebody
a vampire.
Wait, it's some TV show or book or movie where they call.
Yeah, we
Elizabeth
were making fun
Lisbeth.
Of it. I don't.
Yeah,
I remember
you and I
making
totally
fun
watched
of
it together.
It.
Yeah, you
know, but I don't remember it what it was.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Turn off your notifications.
Yeah.
Wow. My Discord is on silent. That was Slack, I think, but I don't have a Slack because I'm 14 years old.
That was Slack.
And Slack is no uncool. Anyway, so I really like Keira Knightley. So this isn't, like, the most accurately written Elizabeth. They changed a few things about her personality, but
yeah, I saw that.
She's
I read
a
that.
Really
yeah.
good Elizabeth, in my opinion. I really, really like her in this role, and I think that she pulls it off really well. She pulls off specifically what I'm obsessed with in this movie, and just what we joke about a lot, is that she makes, and I don't even know if you would pick up on this, but, like, the perfect, like, expression of when a man is talking to you and like that trademarked and you're like unsure if what to do or what to laugh, and you're basically just thinking like the fucking audacity of, and it is such a specific one because it is like not just generally an audacious, I think that's a word, an audacious expression. It is a specific one when a man is saying some dumb shit to you and you're like and she does it so perfectly.
Yeah,
I love it.
Again, maybe entirely apocryphal and not true at all, but
she's great.
The director said that, or maybe Keira Knightley said that they had a rule. The director said that she wasn't allowed to pout during the movie. He didn't want her to pout at all.
She was very smiley.
And that there was like one scene that was like a pickup, and so it was the B unit team shot it, and she pouted, and he didn't see it until they were like in the editing room. So he was all mad that he had to use a scene of her pouting. I don't remember which one it was, but there was a whole thing about her pouting. And then he said she likes to say that he initially didn't want to cast her because she was too beautiful. And then he met her and decided it was okay. that's her story of it.
That's fair. Okay. Yeah, this is completely unrelated. I just have ADHD thought trains that, like, bounce around. Yep. So, in this movie, this is one of the changes they made from the book.
Yeah.
Is they make, like, a really big deal over how poor the Bennets are.
Yeah.
And they're like... I don't want to say
that's true, right? I mean, isn't that part of the whole point of the book?
Well, so... I don't want to say they're, like, less... they're more wealthy in the book. I think they are slightly more wealthy in the book. But it's not as huge of a deal as they make it in the movie. Like, in the movie, they talk about it so much. And, like, they really...
But, like, isn't that why the mom is so concerned about trying to get them married off and get them taken care of? And so, like, that seems like that is a significant plot point.
They did in the movie. And they also just did this. So they wanted to make Mr. Bennett...
I haven't read the book in 30 years, so I don't know.
I don't remember it very well. But it's okay. So they wanted to make Mr. Bennett, the dad, a more sympathetic character for some reason. Yeah. He's not really in it, but I liked him. He was cool.
Yeah, Kiefer Sutherland's dad.
Wow. Who knows?
Lost Boys tie-in already.
Wow. So, yeah, I don't know. I think he's a neat character in the movie.
One of the only two Americans in the movie.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah. And so what they did is they wanted to make him more sympathetic, and in the book, they were, like, fairly well off, but he was irresponsible with his money and kind of put them into poverty. And so it was less that they were... I think the movie makes them seem like they were born into poverty and they were just, like, a family that it was lower class when they were just, like, running out of money. They weren't... They didn't have no money. They were just, like, trying to scramble to get more before they ran out.
Well, and they also were sort of making the point, too, that, like, even though he had... money and the estate and stuff, his wife wouldn't get it because that's not how shit worked.
Yeah.
Right.
That is a very important thing.
When he died, that her and all of the daughters would be out on their ass potentially.
Yeah.
Because of what's
his inheritance laws. Oh, because of. I'm going to be so mad at you in a second.
No, I wrote it.
His name is Mr. Collins.
Mr. Collins.
And
yeah.
I hate him.
The gay guy.
No, that is, we don't want him.
But he does, clearly.
No!
I can make that gay.
You can, it's no!
Mr. Collins.
I hate Mr. Collins. He's creepy, and I hate him.
He didn't want to get married because he's gay.
No!
And he just felt like he had to, and somebody was making him, and so he didn't care who he married.
He's really creepy.
Like, he had no preference whatsoever ever about who he married. Just point him at the people, and he marries them.
I see.
It was all because, The cat was making him get married.
This is because...
And he didn't want to get married.
You are a man and heterosexual that you can say this.
What?
Oh, my God.
What are you talking about?
Because he's so... Like, I don't even know how to describe it, but he is just, like, such a creepy... Like, everyone has met this guy specifically, like, and knows who I'm talking about, especially people who identified as female at some point in their lives.
But he even had this, like... You might...
I need to take a shower.
Before we go on, let me explain why I want to get married. Because he knows everybody's like, why are you wanting to marry a woman? Like, that doesn't
no!
seem right. And he's like, okay, let me explain.
It's because they're his cousins.
It's because I feel like it's my duty in the church, and I have to, and my benefactor thinks that I should do this kind of stuff, right? He was clear. He's like, look, I know you think I shouldn't be getting married.
And he treats Charlotte Lucas really badly, and I really like Charlotte Lucas, and that's not okay. And I don't like him
so much.
Her friend that he got married to.
Oh, I thought he treated her relatively well.
No, because she's like sad.
Oh, yeah.
Well, when you watch that scene, it's like, I don't know, it's some of the saddest part of the movie, because it's the scene where she's like, I just, like, I have to get married, and I don't like him, and he sucks, and he's, like, bad.
Yeah, but then I thought she was kind of actually okay once she was in the house and had her little room to herself he couldn't go in.
Yeah, she was like, that was very defeated.
And she seemed like she was kind of buying into the whole benefactor thing, like, oh, don't worry about what you wear, whatever you got.
Yeah. It was a very defeated.
Don't be embarrassed.
Like, I have to do this and I don't want to be doing this, but this is the only thing for me, which is like common that era. So he is a parallel to Mr. Darcy. He's the shittier version of Mr. Darcy.
Yeah, one of my first thing in my notes is, why was Mr. Darcy such a jackass?
He's
like, why
awkward.
Is he so disagreeable?
He's awkward. Okay, so...
But he's disagreeable. He's not just awkward. He's just...
I don't know. Okay, I will explain whatever you want me to. So he is
okay,
just
well, here's,
like...
Here's his proposal.
I have fought against my better judgment, my family's expectation, the inferiority of your birth, my rank and circumstance, all these things, and I'm willing to put them aside and ask you to end my agony.
to end my agony.
That's not super flattering.
Okay. Right. Yes, that's the point. Okay, so
Mr. Darcy, like, you ask me against your better judgment. Like,
I'm sorry if you guys could hear my neck crack really loudly right then.
Should I be flattered by that?
Okay, so Mr. Darcy is clearly neurodivergent.
And even in the beginning, like walking into the party, like I don't know, he's just
standing there in the beginning.
No, yeah,
he's like,
I know.
I don't want to be here.
Like,
he doesn't want to be there.
Like he's making a point of just standing there.
Okay, yeah. So here's my Mr. Darcy meta, because I like Mr. Darcy so much.
And why do I have to look at his hands so much?
Oh my god, wait, I'm going to throw down. It's so important. That's the most important part of the movie.
I don't want to look at this dude's hands.
Yes, you do. 20, you don't understand romance.
20 minutes of this
that is
movie.
Okay, we'll talk about the fucking hands, because there is the most important part of the movie. The hand flexing scene made more of an impact on cinema than anything you've ever shown me on this podcast.
Like, okay, no. The hand flexing thing was okay. Like when he helped her into the cart thing, or into the carriage. Yeah, totally fine. Like that once. But there were like 8 of those.
It's about the hands.
There's like all of this the other time. Like, oh,
that's
there's
what
his
romance
hand.
Is
there's his hand. Oh, wait a minute. There's his hand again.
I have to sit really far back from the microphone because I'm yelling.
I've got a close up of
Mr.
Darcy's hand again.
It's really important.
Okay. Why is it important?
Because, okay, we'll go into that because I have a segment about it. Well, I mean, like, not about it specifically, but I have so many points to make about it.
Right.
And I want to make a different one. Okay. So we're talking about Mr. Darcy. I personally think he's, like, pretty obviously neurodivergent. And so, like, as someone... Rude. I'm right, because I like this movie so much. I've seen this movie so many more times.
Yeah, right. Sure.
And I like Mr. Darcy a lot. And I think...
Jackassery is not
interest.
Neurodivergence. Some people are just jackasses.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But no, what I'm saying is that he is... I thought it was, like, fairly obvious. I guess if you watch... Like, I can understand watching the movie for the first time. This is, like, my 47th time watching this movie. But, like, watching it for the first time... Yeah. First of all, never really realized how embarrassing the beginning of this movie is to someone who doesn't know anything about it, because it is all squealing and giggling, and it's very chick flicky. And like, as soon as we started it, I was just filled with dread.
Right.
Like the whole time I was watching it with you, because I was like, oh no.
Well, like her sisters and stuff.
Yeah, because her sisters are who you Jenna open Malone. On. And I was like, oh no, he doesn't know the plot of Pride and Prejudice and doesn't know that this isn't what the movie's about.
I did love that Mary was the emo kid.
I love Mary.
Yeah, Mary was
fantastic.
Pretty funny.
In
her,
love
like,
her.
Emo dress when they went to visit them and talking about, like, how you shouldn't have a ball.
Yeah, she's so good. She is my, she's, what a good
She character. Was rad. I loved her.
Yeah, she's great. And so, yeah, that's mortifying.
She would have, had I been the whoever the came in, I would have.
But she's
Mary.
Like 12.
Well, yeah, but I was going to ask him, what is the age difference between Mr. Darcy and Lisbeth?
I don't know the answer to that one, actually.
You certainly didn't see Mr. Darcy's parents.
Well, yeah, but that's also because he's a man.
He wasn't living at home.
Well, yeah, he's a man.
Yeah.
And so, like... I don't know. It was generally, like, he would be able to go out. And he's also super rich. And so he would be able to go out. Also, I think his parents might... One of his parents is probably dead, I think.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry that I'm misremembering these facts about Mr. Darcy.
There seemed to be a decent age gap between them.
I don't know, actually. Because, like, generally, like, he would be out on his own. But women didn't go by themselves until they were married.
Yeah.
That's just not a thing that would have happened.
Right.
And so he was allowed to go be like a bachelor, a Victorian dandy.
Right.
But she would not be able to have left her house. And she is noted in this movie, too, and I think this is like to reason the age gap, too, is that she's significantly older than she should be and older than her sisters. Like when she's talking to Dame Judi Dench.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's second youngest. And so she's like... Hey, a bunch of my sisters are already marrying age, and they're my sisters.
Yeah.
And so you can guess
so
that
I'm not going to say how
really
old I
old.
Am. Yeah.
Yeah, so she's old for, like, a marrying age woman. And I think Mr. Darcy is also old for a marrying age young man, because he's really awkward, and he doesn't know how to talk to people.
Right.
Okay, so now, and I don't know how to make this clear, because it just is, like, and I picked up on it really easily, just because I interact, like, I don't want to, assign him autistic, just because I... haven't researched autism very much because I don't have it.
Yeah.
But, like, he is very similar to a lot of neurodivergent friends that I have that have, like, anxiety and don't understand social cues. And that is how I assume it would present itself in that social era that was entirely made up of social cues. And every, like, slight was very polite. And so I think that he is not necessarily purposefully, and he clearly isn't, because I think he's a great love interest, because he doesn't really objectify Elizabeth. And when she calls him out for doing something wrong, he apologizes and changes his behavior, and that's, like, unheard of in rom-coms.
I mean, I think it might have been easier at that time, though, because there were rules around, like, social interactions.
They didn't really
right?
see them, still. There are still rules, they're just unset.
No, but I think they were, like, if you take Mr. Collins, right, he's like, oh, well, here's the rules. This is what you do, you say this, the woman says that, and then you compliment her on this, and then you do that. Like, I think it was well established, like, what the rules were that you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
So he could have done that. He didn't make an effort to do that. He didn't try and be polite. He was just...
myself. And, like, he reminds me of... like, I don't want to name drop my friends, specifically because we're talking about...
and his whole conversation about how there are no good women.
Okay, no. That's a really weird conversation. Right. And it was taken so out of context in this movie.
I never heard of a young lady, but people say she is accomplished.
That's a good line. I hope that's in the book, because that's a really good line.
I think it might be.
Yeah, that's a really solid line.
We need to talk about Mr. Bingley a second, too, because I love him more
than anything. No one ever talks about women that they're not saying how amazing they are.
Yeah.
Right.
That's facts.
That's just what they say.
Women? They're great. Yeah, I love women.
I think that's really funny. But his whole thing about, there are no accomplished women.
Okay, but I don't see... six. You only know six women. Yeah, no, and I think that was a good thing to call him out for, and that was, like, also... yeah, it kind of sucks. And, like, oddly enough, people will, like, hate on Pride and Prejudice and be like, it sucks, and it was super misogynistic. And it's like, well, yeah, because it was written in the fucking Regency era.
Right.
Jane Austen was incredibly feminist for that era and still has a lot of really important feminist ideals.
Right.
Yeah, she sucked. Fucking everyone sucked. And that's not great, and you need to acknowledge that, obviously. You need to be like, hey, that was not great that she did things. Like, a lot of famous... classics authors were probably super racist or homophobic or transphobic, but their works are, first of all, so far divorced from them as a person, and also I consider that very different from being a racist now, because that just was. And, like, there is something to be said about not examining that and, like, living an unexamined life and, like, just not questioning that why you hate these people, but also that's just how it is.
Yeah.
And so you don't get to really... you don't have to complain about it as much as you do, is my thing. And also, I just really like Pride and Prejudice, and so I'll defend it till my last breath.
Yeah, you know, I think he didn't buy into this.
I never heard of a young lady, but people say she is accomplished.
So he doesn't buy into the social norms, right? That you're supposed to be complimentary, and you're supposed to do these kind of things, and you're supposed to do these kind of things.
Here's the thing. He's
making an active decision to not
Mr. Bingley
participate in that.
Drinks nothing but... respect women juice.
Yeah, yeah.
He's, like, I love him so much.
Yeah, I like Mr. Bingley.
A human golden retriever.
I think they said that the whole, like, proposal rehearsal thing was all, like, ad-libbed and was supposed to be, like, a tiny little thing, but it was really funny, so they kind of went with it and worked on it and stuff.
Because
I thought that was a cute little scene of them together.
And him, are they're both just rays of sunshine, and I would die for them. So, no, I love Mr. Bingley so much because he's just so nice and he's so stupid. He is, like, okay, so he's not large, but if... maybe. If he were to be large, he would be the archetypal... how am I saying that word right?
Yeah, sure.
The archetypal himbo. Like, exactly. He's a himbim.
Yeah.
He's a himbim because he's really little.
Yeah.
But he's so stupid, and he's filled with love.
Yeah.
And I would die for him in a half a second. Okay, regardless, he's great.
Didn't love his sister.
I think she's a lesbian. I'm just saying.
Right.
She did not need to be that homoerotic. There's this one scene during the ball, the second one.
Yeah, there was some weird stuff with her and Lisbeth.
So, Mr. Bingley's sister. Okay, so yeah.
Yeah,
so
Mr.
the thing
Bingley,
was, this is, like, not established anywhere, and I elect to ignore it because it's dumb, is that she's trying to date Mr. Darcy, and that's why she's weird with Elizabeth. I think that's stupid, and I'm ignoring it. Because you cannot... please let me have two women who aren't related who can just, like, talk to each other, please.
Right.
Which is why Charlotte Lucas is so great, because she's just her friend. They're just women who are friends, and they don't hate each other or fight over a romantic rival. It's great. And so, there's this one scene during the second ball where they're standing next to each other, and it's supposed to be a Lear, I think, but Darcy, that's the little one. I'm sorry, I want to call her a Darcy for some reason, because she's just with him all the time, but she's not actually a Darcy. So Mrs. Bingley, she, like, is trying to leer at her, but she gives her, like, a sweeping once-over that lasts a little too long. It's very homoerotic.
Okay.
You need to take my word for this.
All right.
I'm trying so hard to put it into words.
Yeah.
It's really gay, okay? And she's, like, just the way that she interacts with Elizabeth. That's my make it gay segment, is that I think that Miss Bingley is a lesbian. And I think that she's way too homoerotic with Elizabeth for anything else to be the case. And I don't like that I'm being met with silence, because it makes me feel very weird.
No, I'm good with it. Yeah.
Yeah, she's gay. Anyway.
Yeah, I couldn't, like, pin down...
She's so good.
Like... sorry, I thought she was, like, super rivally.
Yeah.
With Elizabeth, initially, and, like, didn't like her, and felt like she was above her and kind of stuff. And that her behavior towards her was, like, sarcastic almost.
Of course,
sickly, sweet kind of thing. But then there were times when it felt more genuine, too. Like, when she really kind of felt like that was the masterful
writing of Miss Jane Austen.
An actual connection there. And so it made their relationship super confusing to me.
Oh, I think what's important to note, and I forgot,
didn't she mention, like, in the letter that went to Jane?
I don't know what
the Jane? Is. Who's the older sister?
Jane.
That went to Jane.
I think it's really funny that Jane Austen was like, I'm going to make the perfect character.
That said Jane. They were moving.
Yeah.
When,
she wrote that.
When What's His Butt said that they were moving, and she read the letter, didn't it say that, like, she was hoping to be sister-in-laws with Mr. Darcy's sister at some point?
What?
Or something like that? Like, did she want to marry Darcy?
Yes. I said that.
Yeah, okay.
I said that.
I'm sorry.
So yes, canonically, she's into Darcy, and she wants to marry Darcy.
Yeah.
But, again, I think that's stupid, and I've elected to ignore it.
Yeah.
And it isn't super heavy-handed in the movie.
Right.
Or clear at all.
I think it said it in a letter. And there was, it was that kind of thing, like, I hope that we'll be sisters someday. Was kind of, I hear great things about his sister, and I hope we'll be sisters.
Yeah, so it is very coy. But, like, if you ignore that one line in that huge letter, like, that's fine, and I think it's dumb. So I ignore it, because I also really, really like her as a character.
Yeah.
I am failing to remember her name, and I feel really bad about it.
Yeah.
I think it's really nice. Yes. Is she famous?
Oh, the actress?
No, Georgiana is the little one.
Yeah.
She's Mr. Darcy's baby sister. Yeah. I want to call her Georgiana.
Yeah.
She looks familiar to me, but maybe, again, it might be because I've seen this movie a million times.
Yeah.
But I think that, like, I really wish that the current social standard was, like, mean Regency Victorian Edwardian vibe, where, like, we're complimenting you, but we're being really mean about it, but it's old-fashioned.
Right.
Because, I mean, people do that now, and it sucks.
Right.
But I think it's really funny when it's, like, period piece dialogue, and I think that'd be really fun. Right. So I think we should do that. Okay, it's also important
You say nice things so long that you start buying into them, and you actually like the person, the whole time you're trying to be
sarcastic. No, it's because she's in love with Elizabeth, Dad.
And, like, hey, let's walk around the room three times.
No, it's the same dynamic. It's the same dynamic of... Here's my meta, Brian Bridges meta, is that she doesn't know what a gay person is, and she feels very strongly towards Elizabeth, and she doesn't know how to analyze those feelings in context, so she acts like she hates her, but really she's into her.
Right.
And that's just me being a dramatic gay person who really likes period pieces.
Yeah.
Oh, I would like to announce also publicly on the podcast, because this is not mortifying at all, that I have rewritten Pride and Prejudice twice with gay people. And I think that Pride and Prejudice would be better if it was lesbians. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would also be better if it was gay men, but I just like lesbians a lot. Because, I don't know, I think that the whole hand thing. Let's talk about the hands. So, I think that this is a great quarantine movie, because they're social distancing the whole time.
Yeah.
So is Twilight.
Yeah.
I've been watching those two movies on repeat, because Pride and Prejudice is a really good movie, and Twilight is Twilight. And so, there's this, like, theme of yearning, and I'm sorry, I'm gonna out myself as someone who uses Tumblr too much. Like, it's the yearning, and it's the social distancing, like, yearning from afar. And it is I know that this movie appeals a lot to queer people and women, like, so, so much, because it is, like, while Mr. Darcy, is kind of an ass, he's, like, really respectful about it. Like, he doesn't objectify her really at all, which is super rare in rom-coms, and he does have that whole, like, gentle longing from afar vibe, and, like, the hands are about that. It's, like, about the subtle contact, and it's about the tenderness. It's about the tenderness, and it's really important. Uh-huh. It's important, and I think that movies like this one appeal a lot, and, like, we were talking about this with, like, vampires, is they appeal a lot to queer people just because that quiet, like, hidden longing from afar feeling is really easy to relate to as a queer person, obviously.
Yeah, sure.
And, like, fixating on the time that you brush hands. The hand flex scene is my favorite scene in all of cinema.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's just good. It's just, it's so much. It's so much. Mm. And, like, this movie makes me feel more sappy and romantic than, like, any rom-com where they're, like, just dating and, like, it's sexier than when they're making out because it's so... When, it's the tenderness.
When she went to his house and ran into him by mistake.
Oh.
And then... I don't. I kind of like that.
They're so in love.
I quite like walking. Yes, I know.
That scene! You could probably see, like, hear me crying over it. And then I had to go sit to the side of the couch.
She leaves, and then he turns around and walks, and we get a hand close up there. Like, she's not looking at his hand. Like, the first, like, no, the hand flex, she's looking at his hand. And he's looking at, they're aware of his, he becomes, like, intimately aware of his hand.
Well, it's not.
And they didn't touch hands, they didn't do anything.
He's remembering
She's not even in the shot anymore. He's thinking about doesn't do another hand twitch. We just get a shot of it.
No, he is thinking about it.
He is not thinking about
it. Yes, it is.
The director is thinking about it.
Gay people love hands. We just love it. We love to see it.
Because you like to draw hands.
Yeah, I love it. My favorite. I hate drawing hands. Okay. No. Okay, so we need to talk about that scene, too, because that is, like, the peak of romance. I think this movie...
Yes, I know.
Yes! It's the peak of fucking romance! It's so good! Because, like, okay, how many times... Okay, so I think this movie... and then this movie is, like, why... like, I feel like this is such a mean thing to say, and I feel really bad, but, like, unhappily married middle-aged women love Pride and Prejudice because he, like, makes an effort to... learn about her as a person and, like, doesn't treat her like an object and treats her like a person, and they're friends, and that's really, like, that's weirdly rare, especially in, like, the romance genre. Is there just, like, I think that they would be cool as friends. Also, I think that would be a good friendship dynamic, and that scene stands out so much because he's like, he knows he pays attention to her and he wants to get to know her, and he knows what he, like, observes her to know more about her. And it isn't, like, I just think the most important thing is that never while watching this movie did I feel like he was objectifying her in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
And neither did, like, Bingley and Jane. None of those romantic relationships. It felt like it with fucking, Mr. Collins. I have to keep looking at his name because I've, like, just blocked him out from my mind.
Right.
And so, like, I never felt like either of them were objectifying the woman they ended up with, and because it was happy. And also, like, just one of my personal favorite relationship dynamics ever is, like, where they just bicker constantly.
Right.
But it's because that turns into friendship, and that turns into knowing about the other person. It's, like, just very, 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 very tame enemies to lovers.
Yeah.
It's a great dynamic.
Right.
And I think that it's nice. I feel like we like this movie so much because it's just nice. And he's just, like, he does something wrong, and he apologizes for it and moves on. That's such a novel concept in fucking rom-coms. Because okay. He's not running in the airport and being like, oh, but I love you!
Right.
And he's like, I'm sorry, I fucked up. Oh, and the most important shit, I love this line so much, is he's like, when he's proposing to her the second time, he's like, if your feelings have changed, tell me, and I will stop, and I will leave this alone forever. I will not talk about it again.
Yeah, but he already said that.
Well, no. So, no, but the important thing is that she realized her feelings changed, and he realized that she realized that, or that something changed in their dynamic, and so he was like, hey, I think something changed, but if it hasn't, and if I'm wrong, then I won't talk about this again, and I will... like, not, because, like, there.
Yeah, but he already said, I won't talk about this again, the first time.
Yeah, but he sent us something, I think that's fine, and he didn't say that as explicitly, obviously,
right.
Is he was like, no, but it was less like,
right.
I don't want to bother you with this, and it was, like, salty and sarcastic, it wasn't, like, super real,
right.
And so that is, like, how many fucking rom-coms have you seen where the woman is like, no, I don't want to date you. And then the whole rom-com is a man trying to prove himself that he's really actually a good partner. And at the end, like, taming the fucking shrew.
I mean, didn't he kind of do that, though?
I like that movie, though.
He fixed a bunch of his mistakes.
But.
Because he liked her.
Mm-mm.
Like, not
no.
Because he realized that they were mistakes and that he shouldn't have done those things. He said that. He said, you have to know it was all for you.
Okay, no.
Like,
no.
The reason...
No.
She's like, oh, but you got them back together, and you took care of what's-her-putt eloping,
which was
a terrible thing for some reason. And plus, why would Wickersham... Why would Wickersham...
Wickham.
I used to live on Wickersham Avenue.
Out fucking docks.
Why would Wickham, like, I thought he was after money. And they don't have any money. So why is he eloping with Jenna Malone?
It's a ploy.
That doesn't make any sense.
Is the actress's name Jenna Malone?
Yeah, sure. That's the other American in the movie. Like, she doesn't have any money. Like, that totally doesn't fit his M.O.
No. Because he ran out of the money he had. And he knew that he couldn't go back to Mr. Darcy or Mr. Bingley or any of those people because they already hate him. And so he's going to extort money from Mr. Bennet.
No, but they hate... But Mr. Bennet doesn't have any money. The whole point is they're poor.
He has enough.
They're poor. And the he would go after rich people. Because like, that's not what those people do.
But the rich people already... He already went after Mr. Darcy. Okay, so Mr. Darcy and Mr. Bingley are very influential rich people.
Yeah, go somewhere else.
Reasonably he would go somewhere else. But he wanted to... I think it was probably influenced by the fact that he was trying to like fuck over Mr. Darcy because you can fucking tell that Mr. Darcy likes her and there's like that scene where they're all staring at each other.
Yeah.
Okay. And so he also he doesn't care that they're in poverty because he's trying to take the rest of their money and then move on to somewhere else.
That was a minor nit.
On just this being the last time, especially because it's elopement.
Yeah.
And because elopement is so not supposed to happen and it's so informal that an elopement that led to a divorce or something would be not unheard of.
But he fixed all of that for her.
Okay. So here, okay, that's what I was going to argue. So I disagree that it was for her because I don't like where like I'm in.
He said it.
No. Okay, but I disagree in the way that you're interpreting it, is that I think that part of why it's Elizabeth and Darcy and why their relationship dynamic has influenced just, like, every romance since is because she was the one who was stubborn and brash. Because I feel like, because he's a rich white guy, people let him be an asshole.
Yeah.
Because he is powerful. And that's how it was back then.
Right.
And how it is now. But, like, especially back then, is the people in power,
You
don't say shit about them.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you die.
Yeah.
And you get all your money taken away.
Yeah.
So you don't say shit about them. And Elizabeth was strong enough and smart enough to, like, tell him off and be like, hey, you're being a jackass.
Right.
Don't do that.
Right.
And that's part of why I think he changes during... Well, also because you need a plot and you need character development.
Right.
Because it's a book.
Sure.
But also, they're not real people. And so there needs to be... Something needs to change during the course of the movie.
Well, so what do you think about him breaking them up? Like, before the whole story. Like, you love this dude. Like, that seemed like kind of a shitty thing to do.
It is. Yeah. But I think that, like, what he's doing is... And you're, like, to your point of there are rules, and he's neurodivergent and trying to follow them.
Mm.
He's like, this is the rules. He can't marry down. And because he is, like, I just see patterns in him that I see in a lot of people that I know who are neurodivergent and who are, like... they're not, like, rude, especially not as rude as, like, Mr. Darcy is, but they don't understand, and myself included, don't understand social cues and come across as really blunt and rude a lot.
Right.
When they're not trying to be, obviously.
Right.
And so I think that he is also just, like, such a... He's a very loyal person, which is a positive personality trait, but he's also very closed off, and he doesn't make new relationships, you know? And so he is very loyal to Mr. Bingley, and he doesn't give a shit about anyone else.
Why do you think he likes Mr. Bingley? Like, that doesn't seem like the kind of person he would like.
I don't...
Although it seems impossible to not like Mr. Bingley.
I know, everyone loves him. He's the best.
That doesn't seem like the kind of guy that Mr. Darcy would hang out with.
I'm pretty sure there's more backstory in the book, but I think they've just been friends forever. And it is actually not that uncommon. I've seen this relationship dynamic a million times.
Right.
He's super closed off. And it was probably, like, I don't know, comparing it time to self-project. Like, if there's a really awkward closed off, because this is like how me and my best friend used to be. We both like changed a lot of people, but in like kindergarten, me and my best friend, she was super closed off. Z was like very quiet and didn't talk to anyone, and I talked to everyone, and I was super loud and rambunctious and like unwittingly befriended this person, and then Z just like attached to me, and then we became best friends. And so I assume the dynamic works like that,
right?
Just because it's a real thing that I see all the time,
right?
And also is just how I grew up with my best friend. I think they've known each other for ages too. And I think that, again, that's a very neurodivergent thing, especially because, like, low empathy is an autistic trait, which is why I personally, like, headcanon him as having some form of autism, is that he cares so, so much about his friends, and he loves them so intensely that, like, he's willing to do anything for them specifically, and his empathy for other people is diminished by that.
Right.
Which is also something that I feel. It's like, I can find myself being a jackass to people just because they kind of upset my friend once.
Yeah.
And I'm so very, very loyal to them. Even if they're, like, strangers to me and they didn't actually do anything that wrong, I'm so sorry. Yeah, you know who you are, and I'm really sorry.
He totally burned that with Wickham. Because they grew up together and were best friends.
Yeah,
and,
but like, he
they
fucked up.
Yeah, well, I know, but like you're saying, his loyalty would but overcome loyalty, those kinds of things.
No, 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 no.
It doesn't overcome
that's not
those
what
kinds
I'm saying.
Of things. Yeah.
No, I'm saying is he thought, and like it was kind of self-sacrificial to me, is that he was like, even if Bingley hates me, which he can't because he's Mr. Bingley, but this is, I need to do this to save him because he didn't understand. And that was also, like, I hate that I have this a soft spot for this trope, but the trope of rich boy learns that being rich sucks is like a really, I like that trope, and I hate that I like that trope because it's bad sometimes.
So I would also say, though, that the dynamic between Bingley and Jane didn't change.
No.
So he, like, undid that.
No.
Not based on new information. He did it because
he
liked Elizabeth.
Over it. What? Oh, did you get that?
Like, yeah, Darcy undid it.
Yes.
Like, put them back together.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
not,
yeah, yeah.
Not because her status changed or something. Still believed that it was a bad match and that, like, all of those things were still true. He just liked Elizabeth, and so he was willing to throw his friend under the social etiquette bus.
No,
so that
that's
he could
not what
get
I think
with
happened.
Elizabeth.
You need to realize that you're reading a romance. Like, you need to think about this in the terms of this movie is about romance.
If what he was doing with
this movie isn't about
Bingley, is
Wickham,
it Bingley?
Which I don't know. Yes,
there's a Bingley.
I say Bingley because I'm wrong.
Yeah, if there's a Bingley and Jane,
yes,
and they don't belong together, and he was sort of right to take them apart to protect Bingley, then he was wrong to put them back together.
No,
just
because
he fell in love.
Mind.
Just because he fell in love with Elizabeth.
Okay, no, why? Ah, you need to process this, and I guess that's just because it's me, and I'm like very invested in romantic relationships.
Yeah,
I think platonic relationships are important. We should have more of it.
Yeah,
but I'm very invested in romantic relationships.
His romantic relationship overrode his other relationship.
No, but I think that it's different because he's not like, I'm doing this just because I'm into you and I want to do something good for you. Is that
he said that?
Let me talk. Is that, okay, so no, for you also means I changed because of you. Because I liked you, I reanalyzed my point of view, and I checked my fucking privilege because I was in love with you, and you are of a lower standing, and I needed to analyze how I treated those people because I've been brainwashed my whole life. Okay, now I'm explaining what a I can't believe I have to explain, like, the most common rom-com trope ever to you, is that he, well, I mean, good rom-coms, because so many of them don't, like, try to do it and do it really badly.
He realized that they were people.
Okay, I know that sucks, but it's Regency era. Like, there's no...
All right.
It's a period drama, and all that's right. How it was. And so everyone was shitty to the poor.
But I mean, that would be because of you, not for you.
It's the language.
I did it because
that's
of you.
That's such a nitpicky language
not
thing.
For you.
But it's also... Yes, that's more so... I guess that's, like, very... like, in modern language, that'd be pretty clear.
Yeah.
But also just because of the manner of speaking that they had. I don't know a lot about it, and so I could be wrong.
All right, no, whatever.
I think it is more... And he's like... And he did change for
her. It's a romantic thing to do.
I know. It's a big, sweeping romantic gesture because it's a romance movie, Dad.
Yeah,
right. So, yeah. I think that... I mean, also, it's a classic, and you need to keep that in mind.
Yeah.
You know, it's... Just,
I need to read the book again so I can know what the differences were.
I don't know. I just really like this movie. I think it's also a stunning movie, which we didn't talk about. That's, like, the most important
thing.
Yeah,
like I said, her big Lion King shot was real pretty. And then when she was with the family going to London and they stopped and sat around that big tree, like, super
those
Alice in Wonderland.
Shots.
Like, it got real Alice in Wonderland-y. Although that was, like, the worst directed part of the movie. Like, I had no idea what the hell was going on. Even when me and you watched it, I had to pause it. And I'm like, what the hell is happening? And then you told me, and it didn't make any sense at all.
Because I was also wrong. Okay, so here's
the
because
you were wrong.
You know
what I'm saying? Like, it was like, hey, let's go to London.
Yes, I'm hyperfixated on this movie, but I also don't process information.
And then, like, they did that, like, super time accelerating thing, like, hey, do you want to go fishing? Man, that was fun fishing. Hey, I got a letter. Oh my God, it's terrible. We should go back. Like, there was like, boom, 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 boom. Like, they blew through that stuff, right?
It's like Twilight.
And then trying to figure out who was going where when Jenna Malone was going somewhere with people, and then she was going, like, none of that made any sense. Like, it all happened so fast.
They needed to cut out. So, because this movie focuses on, there's a, I from my memory, I haven't read Pride and Prejudice in forever also,
right.
But it wasn't like, it hasn't, it's been a while. And I also don't remember it very well because I read it really late at night because I it was my going to bed book and I just forgot everything.
Right.
So there was probably a huge chunk of the book in which all of that is happening and explained, but they cut it all out because they wanted to focus on, they wanted to focus on like Mr. Darcy and Elizabeth.
Yeah.
They wanted to focus on their relationship and so the stuff that didn't matter.
No, like that piece, there's that one.
It's pretty, though.
Like, her deciding to go to London and going with them, and like, all of that was so condensed.
No.
Up to the point that she kind of ran into him back at the house with the sculpture garden, which was nice. I like the sculpture garden, too. And I think there were some sculpture hands.
I think there were some sculpture hands. She's thinking about the hand contact.
And the little sister was in that one. I liked her.
But you've never, I guess, had the gay experience of, like, obsessing of brushing against another woman's hand. And I'm thinking about that constantly. Okay, well, it's the yearning, Dad.
Yeah,
it's about
the yearning. But, like, you gotta... It was totally out of that context when they were putting the things together. Like, if it's her...
She's reminiscing.
Perception.
Would you rather them have them, like, cut to it and, like, faded...
No, like, she should be there. Like, in the shot, she left when she was... Yes, I know. She left. And then he's walking away, and we see a close-up of his hand. It's
because
not her.
He's thinking about it. No, it's him thinking about it, because it's a shot of him.
He's reminiscing about his hand.
It's his scene.
His hand.
Yeah, he's
longs for his hand.
Touching her hand. And so it's back on the hand, because it's about the hand.
It was never her
hand.
He's
not looking at her
hand. I never saw a close-up of her hand.
It's about his hands, because they're tender. And it's about the tenderness. It's fucking tender hand contact. I don't know why, but I love hand shots.
Speaking... Well, then this is your movie.
I know, exactly.
Speaking of hands, there's a movie called Happy Gilmore. This is a pretty side...
Oh boy.
It's a long way to go to make a small point, but I'm going to do it anyway. Adam Sandler, he's like a hockey player.
Oh my god,
player.
Adam Sandler's in this movie?
He's a hockey player that starts playing golf. He's got a golf instructor. His golf instructor, Chubb, got his hand bitten off by an alligator on a golf course. And so he's got a fake hand, like a wooden, like a mannequin hand, practically, right? That doesn't like move or anything. And so the actor in the movie is just holding like this mannequin hand, and he has a sleeve pulled down over his hand. And so when he's like, there's a shot of him like poking Happy Gilmore in the chest.
I don't like that you're putting your hand like close to your face.
And his arm is like 4 feet long because it's just an extension of his hand and the thing and the sleeve pulled up. And
that's,
it's the funniest shot in the world because his arm, like from the elbow to his fingers is longer than from his shoulder to his elbow because it's like this giant thing. It's just really, really funny. It's a super funny shot.
He's totally the flu man. Whoa,
but there was a shot at the dance, at the ball, at the beginning of the movie where Keira Knightley's neck looked like that. Like, it looked like a giraffe. Like, her neck is
really
so
long.
Like, there was one shot of her, like, stretched out, and I was like, her neck looks like Chubb's hand.
I'm glad that we went off on that tangent. You know that one fucking... Oh, no. I don't know if this was in one of the specials that you watched, but that one John Mulaney bit about Ice-T.
I don't remember that.
There's one where they're talking about Law & Order SVU, and Ice-T works in the sex
crimes
division.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. Watch it keep going forever. Yeah, right. Like, at the ball, at the beginning of the movie, when they're in the ball, at Mr. Darcy. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I think that it is, and I am failing to make this point, and I'm really sad about it, because I think that, like, the escapism and the subtlety of period dramas appeals a lot to marginalized people.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was well written. I thought it was well done.
It's a really good movie.
I think the changes that they did to, like, I don't want to say modernize it, but yeah.
They did modernize it.
They sort of mashed it up a little bit, and
they talked about that
a little bit in some of the interviews, too.
More relatable to the modern eye.
It was a little bit modernization without, I mean, it's not like the retelling of Shakespeare and the 10 Things I Hate About You modernization, right? Which would be kind of cool to do with Pride and Prejudice.
People have.
Have they? I haven't seen them.
They weren't very good.
Yeah, it doesn't, whatever.
Oh, that just reminded me. So when I searched for this movie on undisclosed streaming website, I couldn't find it the second time around. So I've watched this movie on this website a million times.
Yeah.
I do it all the time.
Yeah.
But when I searched for this podcast, I couldn't find it. But instead, I found a lot of really, really bad rom-com parodies of it. Like, Hallmark movie rom-coms.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it was great. There's one about a vlogger,
mm-hmm.
Which I'm so excited to watch. And there was, like, a Hallmark Christmas movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to watch... I feel like I should do a video about them. I'm going to watch them with my partner, and I really want to talk about them. Because I bet they're just disgustingly heinous. Heinous?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Heinous? Heinous.
Heinous. Yeah, yeah.
Heinous. Disgustingly heinous.
Yeah,
sorry, heinous. It's H-E-I. Normally that makes a high sound.
Yeah, heinous is more like your royal your heinous. Heinous. Yeah, yeah.
Well, there's not a G-H. Heinous.
Yeah, I also liked that her mom said, I knew she couldn't be so beautiful for nothing. Like, what a terrible line.
His mom is Omi, and I love her. I love what a her.
Horrible thing to say.
She but, looks but not like Damon
time,
Dench,
time accurate. Head. Like, definitely yeah, of course. A time accurate
thing. Yeah, and then where she's.
Yeah, her playing Keira Knightley playing the piano, I thought was really. Because it's the same
yeah,
theme.
It's really funny.
Right? I think it's neat that they use the same theme kind of throughout.
It's distracting her. Wow, that's romance.
Yeah.
I can't. See, this is the one I can name off the top of my head, like straight romance that I fucking just adore
yeah.
to bits.
Yeah.
That isn't made up because no one writes queer romances, like, ever. Because I love to make up romances and I write characters, but, like, I just obsess over the relationship so much because it is so good. It's just, it's good and it is so timeless. Like, I can imagine most romance novels written at that time are just disgusting now.
Mm-hmm.
But it is so timeless because Jane Austen was so feminist and in the time period and, like, writing him. And I think that it's important to be like, yeah, this is a redemption arc for Mr. Darcy. At some point, in the next 10 years when I do another YouTube video,
yeah.
I really want to do a video that's, like, deeply analyzing redemption arcs. I'll talk about Zuko because...
But I think it's hard to have a redemption arc for selfish reasons.
But the thing is, like, I don't think it
like,
was...
Like, if he didn't get her and he undid all that stuff, then that would be kind of a redemption arc, right?
Okay, no, I don't think
like
that...
Like, if he lost his chance to have her, but he grew as a person and learned and became a better man and
okay,
undid
no, but
some
he talks
of his mistakes,
about that,
then that would be a thing.
He talks about that... Okay, so no, he talks about this in the letter, and I feel like that's really important to clarify,
mm-hmm.
is that what you're talking about is the letter that he sent, and he was like, hey, so I was taken aback and I didn't know how to respond when you yelled at me after I proposed, and so I left, which is a very neurodivergent move. There's a scene, not to talk about Twilight again, but there's a scene in Twilight. It's the fluorescence scene. So Bella is talking to Edward and his eyes change because he's a vampire. And she's like, yo, your eyes are different. And he goes, oh no, she caught me, I'm a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, it's the fluorescence. And then he just turns around and walks away.
Yeah.
And it's the funniest scene in any movie.
Right.
It's also just a big ADHD mood because
yeah.
if I don't know how to respond to a conversation, right. I'm just like going to leave.
Right.
So he didn't know how to respond and he left.
Yeah.
And then he wrote a letter to her that letter was not a second proposal. That was not,
oh no, not at all.
That letter wasn't, so it wasn't him trying to get the girl. It was him saying, you misunderstood these things about me. You thought that I was a different, he was like acknowledging that he did some stuff wrong. And he was saying, he was correcting her opinion of him. And he was saying, I know you, like, this is. And also, he didn't tell her that he paid for the elopement. He didn't tell her that.
Right.
That was not him. He didn't plan on telling her that.
Right.
That was him changing it because he felt like it was the right thing to do.
No, not at all. Like, that was him. That was him doing it so that her family wasn't ruined so that he wouldn't be able to marry her.
I don't...
If that had decimated her family, he wouldn't have married her because she would be even more below his station. So he was saving her name.
That's an
to be worthy of
okay.
marrying him.
Did they right. say this? And did
and
I not
he
process
didn't,
it
in
properly,
the letter? He did
they...
not say in the letter he wrote. None of that was. I made mistakes. It was, hey, I did the right thing. You just misunderstood it. Here's why
yes.
I did what I did.
That was mostly an explanation.
And I was right.
But,
and I would do it again. But you thought I did the wrong thing because Wickham lied to you, right?
Yeah. But it's slightly different than that.
And
but,
your
like,
sister
still.
Was standoffish. And so I thought she didn't like him. And so, and your mom is a bore.
Again, that's him not understanding social cues.
I'm totally fine. But that wasn't him saying, oh, I was totally wrong. I'm so sorry. I,
right.
I shouldn't
there was
have
another
done
apology.
That. Like, that was him just saying,
like,
no, here's
and also
I was,
in,
you don't understand how right I was.
Like, during their later interactions after that falling out, is he's like, hey, I fucked up.
It was probably
and
the
I'm
rain.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that's what made a change. No, he was like, hey.
It rains a lot wherever they live.
I think it's, like, around London.
And they walk
so
around.
That makes sense.
In the rain a lot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that doesn't make Oh yeah, there's a scene in the beginning of the movie where it's raining really hard and where Jane is gets stuck at the at Netherfield Park.
Yeah.
Sorry, Netherfield Park is Let It Last. Yeah. We all say it in unison when we watch the movie because we all have that line so memorized. And when it the timing is perfect. And so when Jane gets stuck at Netherfield Park, it's raining because that's why she gets stuck. And Keira Knightley is outside and, well, I mean, she's Jane, but no, she's not. She's Elizabeth. And she's Keira. I just want to say Keira Knightley because she's Keira Knightley.
Yeah.
And she's outside and then she goes inside to be like, hey, it's raining. And she grabs a towel from the wet clothes racks outside and then wipes her wet hair with the wet towel.
Sure.
And I noticed that and I don't know. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I was just questioning if there's a reason that happened or if that was just them being weird and dumb.
No, and I liked her, like, did you walk here? Yeah.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah, I have that noted because I love how dramatically they treat horseback.
Thank you.
I would love to go places on horseback. Mm-hmm. I think that
you used to really love to ride horses.
I was a horse girl.
Yeah, you totally were.
But I was like a feral horse girl.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't like the traditional horse girl. I was really feral about it.
Right.
And so I wish I still had those ribbons. Mm-hmm. I have a bunch of ribbons from horse camp because I went like 4 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's the solution to the climate crisis, is that we should all just ride horses, small distances.
Okay.
We should all have horses. Well, I guess horses take up a lot of space, and doing that ethically would be impossible.
Yeah, no, it'd be difficult, for sure.
Yeah, doing so ethically would be really hard, because horses require so much space. But, like, I don't know, if for every couple blocks there was a ranch with horses that you could rent.
Well, in Colorado, like, there were ranches just down the road from us.
Well, yeah, but we lived in, like, Colorado, where there's a lot of space.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean,
there's a lot of ranches, like, up in the the hills.
Yeah, but that's an hour from here.
No, it's not an hour. Like, up in the Santa Monica, north of Santa Monica. Yeah,
I don't know. I know that there's ranches because
a lot of horseback ranches.
When I was filming the crime show that I really hope that Bill Hader watched, that was in a ranch in Santa Clarita, so that's, like, an hour away.
Mm-hmm.
And so, now that they're closer, that... So, I've realized, I don't know if this is just me being insane in quarantine.
The hills that are, like, behind Malibu.
Yeah.
Like, you can take from there's Malibu, like, going up to Encino, like, up by Glozell's kind of area.
Yeah. y'all know where Glozell lives.
There's
can
a lot of...
Can we say that? Are we doxing Glozell by saying that?
No.
Okay. Yeah.
In L.A.
In Los Angeles. That's fair. Yeah. She lives in Los Angeles. Yeah. Whoa. Yeah, so, no, I think this is also just me going quarantine insane, but, like, right now my biggest dream in life is just to live on a little farm. Just to have some ducks in a pond.
Right.
That's also why I love
this movie. Do that in Tennessee.
I know. Yeah. but, like, also, like, I love my job, and I really like acting and living in Los Angeles, but it's great because they're an hour away from where I live right now.
Your movie should also be coming out soon, too. Like, it's due.
What movie?
This week. Cosmo.
Oh, really?
I think it's due next week. The rough cut.
Isn't it?
He said they're going to go back and do recoloring and color correction and audio, like when opens back up. So I don't know if we're
going
to get a copy of it when
I'll
finishes this.
Him.
But ping him. Because he said it was due at the beginning of May. That's tomorrow.
Shout out to Jack.
So you can.
Do you like this movie?
You can ping Jack and
see this movie at Sundance.
See if we can have a copy. Okay, so we're over an hour. Do you have wrap up thoughts? Like big thoughts? Did we miss something that you really wanted to?
I have realized that it was just me talking this whole time.
No.
But that's fine.
Yeah.
I think that it's. I don't know. It's an important movie and it's a good quarantine movie because it is. I think that like the most important thing to notice. Is that it is escapism, and it is, Mr. Darcy's a good love interest, and I'm trying so hard to convince
you that
it's
really well shot.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
There's not a shot in this
the
movie that I don't like.
The acting's pretty solid.
Yeah.
The writing's pretty good.
You never elaborated. You said, I have two more things to say, I just remembered. You said that the editing was really weird, and you never talked about it on the podcast.
No, the editing, like, that editing of, I don't know what the fuck is going on in the movie
so that's
right
what
now,
we were
that was
about.
Editing. And then the, hey... You want to go fishing?
But you
man,
didn't say
that was
that
fun
there.
Fishing. Like that's editing.
I don't. Oh, maybe you said that during that scene. I thought you were saying that during like a completely normal, unassuming. No, you said it during the scene where. So it is the letter scene. So it is really snappy because she had to go and read the letter.
Mm-hmm.
Where Mr. Darcy stands up. That's also very romantic. Love it.
That was the same thing. Yeah, because it went from
it was just really snappy.
Let's go fishing. That was fun fishing. Hey, you've got a letter. Hey, I've read the letter.
Okay.
And it's terrible news, and I need to go home. Like, those things just happened.
Because
there
was snappy.
Zero development between any of those
Because
things.
Then I was watching the movie
they were all
on my own, and I was like, so, I was trying to analyze how long the cuts were so much, and I was like, where's the weird editing?
No.
But like, it's just that scene
they took stuff out
that
would have explained what was
you
happening
You did
there.
Say this movie, and so I thought you meant the whole movie. You had been thinking the whole time in your brain that this movie is so weirdly edited. I was like, ooh.
No,
okay.
No.
Yeah, and also, I think you noticed this when we watched it.
Yeah.
Is that the opening shot of this movie is the opening shot of To All the Boys I've Loved Before?
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Okay, so yeah, so there's like, it is, I think, a little more broad, and it's referencing more than just this specific Pride and Prejudice adaptation. But during the opening scene of To All the Boys I've Loved Before, which I haven't watched in a little bit, actually, but I should, she's like, I've always dreamed of falling in love in a field. Mm-hmm. And it's her in the field, like, literally walking, like, exactly like Elizabeth did, long in, like, this foggy, moorish field.
Right.
And it is basically just the opening scene from this movie.
Yeah.
I thought that's what you noticed, because you went, oh, I have something. And I was like, oh, yes. You said, this reminds me of something. And I was like, oh, you noticed that it's the opening scene of To All the Boys. Because they're connected. And she talks about Pride and Prejudice in that
Oh, interesting. Movie. No. I did not put that together.
Yeah. So, it is... I do want to say that, like, during the beginning of this podcast, you were saying it's out of character for me. And that's not... Knowing how much I talk about periods, though.
Yeah.
The more I talk about period pieces and classics.
Yeah.
Constantly.
Yeah.
My friends are probably really, really tired of it.
Okay, so this is a good segue.
Hamlet.
So, next podcast...
Uh-huh.
So my assignment.
Your assignment.
I've got two. And I'm not going to tell you what they are, but I'm going to give you buckets.
You have to tell me one of them.
No, I'm going to give you buckets, and then you can decide which direction we go.
I was like, you have to tell me on the podcast.
One of them being maybe my favorite, like, period piece.
Okay.
Classic.
Hmm.
Classic / period piece that I've...
I don't get to know what it's an adaptation of?
No. Oh, that I've seen 40 times.
It's an adaptation of?
I mean, yeah, you will know.
Am I familiar with the word? Is it an adaptation?
No, it's like Pride and Prejudice.
Is an adaptation.
Of Pride and Prejudice?
It is a movie version of a book.
Well, then yes.
That's what I mean by, is it an adaptation?
Well, I thought you meant like the 10 Things I Hate About You.
No.
Adaptation. Like, is it something different that you have to dig into Taming of the Shrew figure out? No. It is a film adaptation of a classic book.
Am I familiar with the classic?
You know the name of it. I don't think you've read it.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if you know the story or not.
Interesting. And then I will have to read it.
It's relatively faithful. So.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, and super, super well done and entertaining. So there's that. If you want to stay in the period piece, classics, film versions of classics, and sort of talk about them. Or there is a not classic at all, but really early, one of the first Keira Knightley films. That's also very gay.
Is it Pirates of the Caribbean?
Super, super young Keira Knightley, relatively gay and rom-com-y.
Oh God, now I don't know.
So do you want to go rom-com or do you want to go classic literature film version?
Can I propose?
We'll do them both eventually, but.
Can I propose like an order of things? I know that it's not as fun if we know what we're going to assign each other next, but if I can propose, if I can propose like a path that makes it transition smoothly to the things that we've already talked about doing podcasts about, is if we went with a rom-com, then sometime between now and your next assignment, you find Near Dark. We can watch a rom-com and then watch Twilight, which is a romance movie, and then watch Near Dark because we're back to the vampires.
Mm-hmm.
Because we talked about doing Twilight and Near Dark back-to-back because Near Dark is supposedly a good movie. I haven't seen it. Mm-hmm. So it's a good movie, and Twilight is really not a good movie, but I love it.
Right.
And I wanted to talk about Twilight. And so, I don't know, I feel like that would make a smooth transition, but I don't have many...
That doesn't seem like that matters at all.
We watch those two movies
back to back, so it doesn't matter what we watch next.
I want it to be a fun transition.
We either watch...
Because I like being like, speaking of rom-coms, let's watch Twilight.
But I don't know that this is
Are there vampires in either of these?
No.
Why did you have to think about that?
You never know.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Neither of them is about vampires. Okay, no, you just get to pick one.
I think it can totally go either way. I don't think it really matters that much.
I have a D20. Do you want me to roll it?
Yeah,
it's
sure.
Like behind me. Okay. Yeah.
I've got them in order on my list, so one of them will be to 10.
Okay. Cool. This is my dice bag. There's like a million D20s in here. There's like six sets of dice in here, and this is the D20. Okay. That's a 10.
See, that was my question. So where is 10 in the? Is it 0 to 9 and then?
No, because that's biased. I'm just going to roll it again.
Is there a 0? There's a 0,
No, there
right?
isn't. It's a 5.
A 5. Oh, there's a 1.
Yeah.
So it's 1 to 10. So they were both below.
A crit 0.
Yeah. Okay, so then we're going to do young Keira Knightley.
Yay.
And we're going to watch Bend It Like Beckham.
Ooh, yes. I have indeed heard of that
Which
movie.
Is a soccer movie.
Oh, it's a soccer movie. It's a sports anime.
David Beckham.
I will tell you
Beckham.
That. I have heard of
Bex.
That movie. I know someone named Bex. Just like them?
Yeah.
You've met them.
Yeah, it's just David Beckham is just like them.
Wow.
So there's Victoria Beckham, who was Posh Spice.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know
so
Posh
she
Spice's
married
name.
David Beckham. She wasn't Victoria Beckham before she married David Beckham. I don't know what
okay, I can't remember what her name was before. I have a crime,
but she was report. Posh Spice, and she married David Beckham, and they became okay. like the beautiful British couple, and nice. He's super rich and soccer star, and
not royal. I don't like the royals.
And well. so yeah, this we'll watch Benedict like Beckham.
Cool. Yeah, I do have a just about the Spice Girls. I have a crime to report, in which this was a really long time ago, and I was going to rehearsals, and I don't remember why I asked this question, but I asked my mother which Spice Girl I was. I don't remember why, and she said I don't know the Spice Girls, and I feel like that is a crime to not know. I don't know the Spice Girls, but that's okay because I wasn't alive when the Spice Girls were.
I think I could probably name all the Spice
Girls. Yeah, you could name the, that's a thing that would if you were alive in the 90s.
It might take me a second, and I might miss one.
I know that the one I know that there's a Scary Spice because that's the one
scary.
That, yeah,
baby.
Yeah, baby Spice, posh, Scary Spice, Ginger, posh spice, Ginger,
Sporty.
Yeah,
that might be all.
Is there? Yeah, I feel like there's. Okay, so I get the same feeling with the Spice Girls that I do with the Scooby-Doo cast. Is that there's like one secret forbidden one? Like it's a little Mandela effect that one of them is gone, and there should be one more Spice Girl. Also, I think that it was a missed opportunity because the Spice Girls should have all been named after spices, and they weren't. Except Ginger, which could it's not a spice, I don't think.
No.
But at least it is
it's
a food.
Just a redhead.
No, but I'm saying at least it is a food that you add to things to add flavor.
Right.
Which might be what a spice is. I don't know if there's a definition of spice.
Right.
Aforementioned Bex is probably yelling at me because they are very good at culinary things. But yeah, the Spice Girls should have been named after spices. And that's just how it should be.
Okay, well,
we're going to watch Bend It Like
we'll
Beckham.
We'll end on that. We're going to watch Bend It on Beckham.
How when did this movie come out?
Bend It Like Beckham. Not Bend It on Beckham. That'd be a weird movie.
I don't like that.
Bend It Like Beckham.
I would like you to tell me when this, which era.
90, early 90s, maybe.
Okay. Then it ties into the Spice Girls, and maybe, we're good.
I don't know. I'll have to. Yeah, this is probably pre-Victoria Beckham becoming.
You're going to say Victoria
getting her Beckham. What? Victoria getting Beckhamed.
Okay, so she's in this movie, or this
movie's about
her?
No, it's not about her either. It's about the David Beckham, the soccer player.
Is it about him specifically, or is it?
Well, the Beckham in the title is about David Beckham.
Okay, but no.
And bending it like Beckham.
I'm asking
is bending a soccer ball like David Beckham bends a soccer ball.
No, okay, so David is not. It's not a movie. It's not a fucking biopic about David Beckham.
It is not a biopic.
Okay, that's what I was. Is if we are referencing David Beckham because I'm supposed to know who he is as someone who knows about sports.
I mean, you're kind of supposed to know who he is, and they talk about him though.
I was just curious if this was an autobiography.
Yeah, I'm curious. Like, I don't remember how. Like I said, it's kind of rom-commy, and there's some gayness and stuff in it, and that's what I remember more than I remember anything about the soccer in it. But they definitely play soccer, and there's soccer in it.
Okay.
And
I don't need soccer knowledge.
Cultural stuff, and it's very British.
How much soccer? Okay, so it's football actually. How much football knowledge do I need to watch this movie?
I don't think you need any. Okay, if you need any, I'll explain anything that you need that matters.
Cool.
I don't think it matters. Okay, so next time, Bend It Like Beckham.
Yes.
And until then.
Bear with us.